The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? Have you heard him? For most of us, when things go well, we thank God, or at least we think about it, or hopefully we think about it and go, "Wow, God, you know, thank you so much for the situation that was pretty wonderful." But when we find ourselves in the place where Paul and Barnabas found themselves in that first reading, what is our reaction? When things don't go the way you want them to go, what's your reaction? When you have to deal with a person who at moments is difficult, what's your reaction? When someone cuts in front of you in a parking lot, what's your reaction? And the list can go on and on of how we react, thinking, "Well, this can't possibly be the voice of God. This has got to be the devil." But it well may be the voice of the Lord saying, "Follow me." Give your life for the other. Follow me. Don't be afraid. And I think, you know, if we look at Paul and Barnabas when they first arrived and were preaching about the Lord and God and his great love and mercy, must have been pretty wonderful for them. I mean, they were kind of heroes amidst the people. And they all thought, "Wow, they're really wonderful." And life must have been fairly decent for them. But then we see that eventually the people turned against them. And they were thrown out of the territory. They could no longer preach there. I wonder what their first reaction was. Were they able to say, "Okay, God, somehow, you know, help us to hear your voice in the midst of this, which seems so difficult to me. We were doing good things for these people, and lots were hearing your voice. And now they're throwing us out, and why is this happening? And God, why did you let this happen?" And they begin to complain or bellyache. But guess what? They didn't. They heard the voice of the Lord that said, "Shake the dust from your feet, move on to the next place." Paul gets this a lot in his life. You know, oftentimes, especially in the beginning when Paul had some difficulties, and he's trying to figure out, "Why am I having difficulties in Jerusalem?" And Jesus says to him, "Good job, Paul. Now move on. Go on to the next place." Sometimes it's difficult for us to move on, to recognize the voice of the Lord that at times says for us to move on. If Paul and Barnabas hadn't moved on, you and I might not be sitting here. Because they move on to the Gentiles. And that's who most of us are. Most of us are not from Jewish ancestry. And then we hear also another guarantee in that book of Revelations, a book that's very difficult to comprehend and understand. That book was written for early Christians. And they use symbols, many of which we don't understand because we're not a part of who they were and what their symbols were. We know for sure it's not a book that predicts the future. It was written for the people at the time. And remember, Christianity is illegal. If you're a Christian, you're going to die. They're going to physically arrest you and kill you.
If you're celebrating Eucharist in someone's home, and remember the early Christian communities celebrated in the home, much like Jewish Passover. And if you were caught, they would put you before the political leaders and ask you, question you, are you a Christian? And if you said yes, you were killed. Isn't it interesting that early writers in the early church said it was because of the blood of martyrs, because so many were willing to give you their life, that the church grew immensely. How many of us are willing to give our life? How many of us are willing to put up with a person who's difficult? How many of us are willing to, you know, to really pray for people who bug us? And I think lots of times we make the wrong prayer. Oftentimes we say, God, change that person so they won't bug me. Wrong prayer. You know what the right prayer is? Change my heart so I can love that idiot. And hopefully even to get to the point of just, Lord, change my heart. Help me to love even the ones who are difficult, even in the situation that's difficult. And that's where the book of Revelations, in a sense, gives us a hint. It says, who are the ones who are dressed in white? Who are they? We know they're in heaven. Who are they? Well, altar servers, would you stand up? Can they come forward so we can see you? They're dressed in white. I'm dressed in white underneath all this. Does that mean these guys are altar servers? That's why they're white? And I'm wearing white because I'm a priest? That's what we think sometimes. If you've got this vestment on, the owl, we think somehow that means they're in ministry. It's baptism. You and I, at our baptism, were given a white garment. Thanks, servers, have a seat. And it's a sign that we've been baptized. And we're called into eternal life, and we'll stand before God with our baptismal garment. Early Christians were buried in their white garment. And they also had a hood on them. They put the hood up on them. Where do our modern-day idea of ghosts come from? If you're rising from the dead and you've been buried in your white baptismal garment, that's where the whole tradition of ghosts being in white comes from. Because the one who died was buried in their baptismal garment and would appear before the Lord dressed in white. But guess what happens to our baptismal garment as we walk through life? How many of you have sinned? I'm the only one? Come on, be honest. How many have sinned in your life? Raise your hand. All right? That made your garment dirty. How many have sinned twice in their life? How many have done it three times? How many have sinned this week beside me? How many have sinned today in thought or word or things we didn't do? Our garments are getting pretty dirty. And it's the blood of Jesus that washes our garments and makes them pure. It's His blood. And that's what we celebrate in a sense today. I mean, we celebrate a banquet in which He feeds us with His words, feeds us with each other, He feeds us with the scriptures and the music that we listen to. Hopefully He feeds us with the homily. And then we're also a part of that sacrifice of His blood that washes our garments clean. And so we're ready as we exit here today to come before the Lord. And we pray that we have that same courage that Barnabas and Paul had to continue on, even when life seems a struggle, to recognize God is calling us as sure as He called Paul and Barnabas to pay it forward. He's called each of us to enter into that. Pay it forward is wonderful. And it's especially wonderful if you see at times, I can't do it.
I can't be nice to that person. I can't go out of my way for that person. That's a good place to be too, because then you know what to pray for. Help me to become more like Paul and Barnabas, that truly I can give my life for the other. You know, we are all familiar, I think, with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. We know that, we've heard it. And it talks about that for all of us, we will walk in the valley of darkness. We'll walk in the valley of death. And it's not talking about about physical death necessarily, although many people at funerals love to hear that. But it's talking about our own spiritual death. You know, when things aren't the way we want them to be, when we have struggles and difficulties and we don't know why, we're in that valley of darkness. We're in that valley of death. And we're told you should have no fear when you walk in the valley of darkness. The Lord has brought us into the valley of light. He has washed our garments clean. You and I are a new people, refreshed and ready to go out to others this new day.